road, are you right to start? Done? Thank you. 25.13.1 is the Corporate Services Department report. Good morning, Rao. Would you like to walk us through this one, please?
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, councillors.
Good morning.
Busy month for the Corporate Services team, outlined in the report provided. There's some details there on our current investment portfolio and the digital transformation work we continue to do, an outline of what the audit panel received, and the minutes for that will be coming to next month's meeting, and the rates summary. The one key point I do want to point out, councillors, is a change to our investment approach that is worth noting. We've done a review of the long-term financial plan, and it's, I guess, the potential for those returns within the asset portfolio to drop over time, and we took the opportunity to invest a $2 million amount at 4.7% on a five-year term. That returns on average around $97,000 a year, and that's paid quarterly into our accounts, which is a very good return on a relatively small amount of the portfolio, but it does provide a hedge against decreasing interest rates over the coming years. And pretty much beyond that, if there's any questions there in relation to any of those items, councillors, I'd be happy to talk to them.
I guess somebody moved that we the report be received. Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions to Rao? Councillor Wright?
Not a question, just a comment. Just how amazing it is to see the amount of money that we currently have invested, like, you know, 25 million, I think I calculated. If we go back only a few short years, we're sitting around 8 to 10. And it's just amazing, you know. Obviously, there's a lot of hard work that's gone into it. Amazing, really.
Councillor Wright. There's been a lot of very good decisions made by this council too, which has led to the financial position we find ourselves in.
Any other comments or questions? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 25.13.2 is the monthly financial report. Rao, this one's got a bit more meat in it. Would you like to talk to this one?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Councillors, as usual, I've provided some notes there. The standard one, note one, is that operating grants are down because of the financial assistance grants being paid in the prior year. We're never really sure whether they'll do that again. So we just note that there for councillor and community information. Going to the previous point, even on our best modelling, we're still $183,000 higher on our interest and investment income than we predicted. That's a really great return, and sort of gives some credence to the approach that we're taking to our investment portfolio. Capital grants are higher than budgeted, but we've been reporting that for most of the year. And materials and services, while they're 19% below budget for the year to date, we need to keep in mind that quite a few of those relate to grant-funded projects. February was a short month, and there's quite a lot of expenditure going on in that space as we speak. So that number will come down. You'll probably see that coming up in the April figures more than anything else. There is a lot of work going on in trying to get those grant-funded projects complete within the timeframes we have. Beyond that, Mayor, the balance sheet is, as normal, statement of cash flows is normal, and the Capital Works report really is in line with the expectations that we have at this time of the year, and happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much for that, Rao. Good to see you paid our bills on the 30th of February. Have we got any questions from anybody regarding our profit and loss sheets? Everything's looking good. Any questions? Okay, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous.
Move and second, Mr.
Didn't we have a mover and seconder? Well, we'll take one. How about that? We'll do something different. Move, Councillor Oldham and
Councillor
seconder.
Councillor Wright and Paul,
I thought they did too.
Councillor Wright and Councillor Vaughan.
I'm not the only one who gets the names wrong.
Councillor Vaughan.
Hang on, look.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that was the previous item.
Previous one. So move, Councillor Oldham, seconded. Councillor Chappell.
Did we vote on the previous one?
Yes. Yes, we did.
Sorry.
Okay, I'll take this one to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 25.13.3 is the Visitor Information Centre report. Brown.
Thank you, Mayor. Councillors, there's the report there from the Visitor Information Centre staff. Numbers are really, they seem to be very consistent year on year nearly at the moment, you know, around that 4,300 mark. Sales were up in the VIC, and the history room entry fees were around the same, so that's all really positive. And really any questions?
Okay, can I get somebody to move this report? Mm-hmm. Councillor Carter and Secretary Councillor Johnston. Any questions to Rao? Thank you very much, Rao. They're doing an excellent job. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 25.13.4 is the policy review of LG51, related party disclosure policies and procedures. Rao, would you like to lead this one?
Thank you, Mayor. Councillors, one of the joys that we have is compliance with the Australian Accounting Standards and related party disclosures, which all of you around the table are classified as key management personnel under the standard, as are a couple of the managers within staff. Each year you provide your disclosures to council, which ensures that we are compliant with AASB 124 related pay disclosures. The actual policy itself hadn't been reviewed for quite a long time. It was still compliant, but an updating to the wording, a better procedure around that, and a guideline to support better reporting in that space have been finished. They went to the audit panel, and the audit panel suggested adoption. They're all there for councillors to review. And if anyone has any questions, I'd recommend that council adopt the policy, procedure and guideline.
Thank you very much, Ralph. Can somebody move? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any questions on this? I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ralph.
Thanks, Mayor. Thanks, councillors.
25.14.1 is the Works and Infrastructure Report, and good morning, David. Would you like to talk to your report, please, David?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Quite a busy time for us. You'll see in the report that we've provided additional information as to scheduled works for the next month. Waste management. We're talking to Southern Waste Solutions at the moment about sending us the invoice for the December period. They're a bit late on that, so that's why I have two be advised numbers in the table, but we'll sort them out quickly and update councils at next meeting. In terms of capital projects, we've been delayed a little bit this year with the flood events that we've had and the storm events, but we're back on track with those at the moment. Of note is the Georges Bay shared pathway solar lighting. We're just waiting for approval from property services to start work on that, and once we have that, we'll begin putting in the light footings. Property services have been really good, a lot of dialogue with them. We provided a bit more information when asked, and we should expect to have that shortly.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Johnston and seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions to David on the infrastructure report? Councillor Johnston?
This is not a question. I thank you for the scheduling of the march, and there is a question, but that's really helpful to me and I think to community, because those that are around, that's really important. I'm just looking at when we do weed surveys. I've just noticed you're doing that in all waste transfers, weed surveys, council cemeteries, weed surveys. Do we do anything I'm just thinking we have a cemetery, I don't know if it's run by council, yes it is, in Falmouth. That's also managed by council, is that right? They come and mow. They do some maintenance on it. Yeah, some maintenance. It is interesting, some of these places have got amazing sort of natural native grasses. So I appreciate weed surveys. I'm just thinking about if we have the capacity with the weed person, if they have are able to look at some of the actual natural grasses that are coming up in these areas.
She does.
Okay, great.
And from there we adopt various techniques for removal of the weeds that aren't there.
Well, if you could tell me how to do that, I'd love it. Love to know.
And the weed officer will deal with areas herself, just removing weeds that shouldn't be there and leaving other vegetation that should be.
Thank you. Any further questions? Councillor Drummond.
Regarding the St Mary's footpath extension going up Grey Road from the high school, I went to the pool yesterday and there was a bit of a small incident in that the contractors didn't know the pool was used on a Sunday and they had parked across the driveway, leaving enough room, one car wide, but one of the participants actually scraped her car all along the guardrail and so she had a conversation with the gentleman. That was just unfortunate, but it's good to see it done. I also went out to Mangana on Friday and went out to the Argyle Street Bridge because the last time I saw it, there was still big dirt mounds around it and it was looking really fantastic, so thank you for that, David. I did have a question sent to me because I was seen in the area, as is the way. As soon as I left Mangana, I got two texts, I said to Vaughan, and it was in regard to the old guard railway and about a half a cubic metre of rubble being left on the driveway at 44 Elizabeth Street. And I was asked if they could be removed.
I'll take it on notice because there's potentially other reasons for that material being there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Any questions? I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 25.14.2 is the animal control report. David, just as read.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Just on closing on this report, I was investigating before I took some leave another dog incident commander where a person was bitten by a border collie. That matter has since been resolved and we don't have any more issues like that pending at this point.
Thank you. If somebody move the report to be received. Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any questions on the report? If not, I'll take to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you.
25.15.1 is the Community Services Report. And good morning, Chris.
Morning, councillors.
Chris, would you like to talk us through your report?
Thank you, Mayor. I think it's standard. I don't think I've got anything else to add that what's not listed in the report. Only that we do have a Bay of Fires Master Plan, but I've spoken to Councillor Carter about that. We'll just check out why he didn't get the email. And that the expressions of interest close, it's a reminder if you're talking to anyone in the community or for Fingal, that closes at the end of this month.
Thank you, Christian. I've somebody move the report be received. Councillor Lefevre and seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions to Chris on the report? Councillor Drummond?
Question, just a comment. I just wanted to mention that the St Mary's Community, Bodra in particular, organised a pop-up gallery in St Mary's on Story Street, and that was launched on Friday night, and it was hugely successful. There were over 120 people turn up for the gallery launch. There are six artists over a two-week period up there, and it was done without any assistance from anyone, and very successful. There are six artists who are doing artist-in-residence stunts, so every day from 10 to 3 you can go into the gallery and someone's doing some artwork and willing to sit down with you and talk to you about what their art medium is, etc. And it was just a fantastic event, and I know the Bushflower shop next door and the pub And even the Purple Possum reported really high increases in their business that night. So it was a fantastically successful event.
Thank you. And just, we were, all councillors were invited to go to that event, or I got an invite anyway through my Breaker Day email. And there was a couple there, which was wonderful to see. It was a great event. I just want to add to what Janet has said, over 120. There was a local Aboriginal artist who lives in Avoca, who also provided, I think it was, for me, sort of local reconciliation, actually, at show, a smoking ceremony, and was really available there for people. It was actually, for me, that was quite a significant part of the event. I was late, naughty, but even so I was late, I was offered or given, I was able to be part of a smoking ceremony that she actually did, and I just felt it was really wonderful to see that type of thing happening. And I do say, I think we should thank Bodra, but I think we need to name names as well, actually. Marietta did much of that work, and it was just excellent. And I'd really suggest people go and see it, because the artists are amazing. Absolutely, the work, I shouldn't be shocked by that, but they're all from that region, and it was fabulous. Yep.
Have any further comments? If not, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 25.15.2 is the health for health management plan. Chris.
Thank you, Mayor. We did discuss this at the workshop. So the management plan was done for this facility. Great comments from people that were engaged around how they saw the future of the building and issues that they described. I think what has come up with the idea that one half of the building is for private and the other half for public, I think will work, and I think it can be done at low cost as well, not a big cost to get that initially across the line. But I think it was a really good plan.
Thank you very much.
And I ask that Council adopt it. Yeah.
Move the opposite recommendation, Councillor Drummond, and seconded Councillor Johnston. Any comments, Councillor Drummond?
My question simply is, how soon will we actually see some of these actions that are pretty low cost being implemented?
Through you, Mayor, we'll talk about it through the budget process. I have a meeting with the accountant, so we'll list up some of these items. Again, some of them is a doorway.
Yeah,
so I'll talk to the works as whether they have actually spare doors which can just be put on. So, like I said, some of the actions to make it occur are very small.
Yeah. And I think the thing about changing the name and, you know, going back to community, I think that's a really positive direction, because there's so much angst associated, I think, with that.
It's very emotional.
The rebuilding of the kitchen is obviously a cost that's going to be a lot more higher than we
expected. I was thinking more about the low cost, like the door, etc., things like that can happen and make it a much more comfortable environment. Thank you, Chris.
Do you have any further questions or comments, Chris? All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 25.15.3 is the community funding program. Chris.
Thank you, Mayor. So councillors, this was also discussed where we talked about the applications at the workshop, and we took on board council's comments. And so the recommendation that we've got is actually asking that some of the funds of existing approved items through the community services budget be moved for this year to fund the additional projects that council wanted to fund. So the actual recommendation reflects that request.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Johnston and seconded Councillor Drummond. Any questions on this? Councillor Fever?
I'll just be clear that I'm a member of the Samantha and St Helens Club, but not on the committee or anything. So.
Thank you for declaring. We'll get that noted. Any other? Councillor Drummond?
I did raise this at workshop, but I think it's important. And I know Chris has made a note at the end of her report there that council officers put forward to look at reallocating extra funding. My
thing would be at the next budget consideration, can we please consider increasing the funding? Because when I first came to council, this was a $60,000 pot of money, and we did reduce it when we were being very budget conscious. Every year they come in well over the $30,000, and it's been at the $30,000 for many years now, and it's not even keeping up with CPI or anything. So I think it's been at $30,000 for 10 years. So the value to our community in real terms is actually diminishing, and the requests are getting greater. So I don't know if I need to move a motion for that or if we just consider it.
Noted it already.
Hello, Councillor Oldham.
I'm a member of the Surf England Club.
We'll have that noted as well. Thank you very much for noting that. If we have nothing further, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you very much, Chris. 25.16.1 is the Development Services Report. And good morning, Jake.
Good morning, all.
Good morning, Jake.
So, Jake, would you like to talk your way through your report, please?
Sure. It was pleasing to see the turnout for the St Mary's Indoor and Evacuation, Multi-Purpose Indoor and Evacuation Centre and the Fingal Community Shelter. All went to plan. It was a good day, so, well attended. Just an update in relation to Billon Bay Barbecue. We've now got the property services consent to proceed with the work. As previously advised, that no planning or building approvals are required for that barbecue shelter itself, so we're in a position to get on with that as planned post the Easter break. Also, the recreational water quality testing has been completed, returning good results. I did note an error in the report which refers to 2020-2021 results, which is just an error, admin error on my behalf there. So just correct that one for this. That should be this financial year that it's referring to in that section of the report. Happy to take questions.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move the report be received? Councillor Fever and seconded Councillor Carter. Any questions or to Jake on this report? Okay, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jake.
Thanks, Jake.
25.16.2 is the Angazi Oyster Reefs. Good morning, Polly. Would you like to talk us to this one?
Good morning, Mayor and Councillors. Thank you.
Good morning.
It's something we've had in the Bay for many, many years, and I think the proposal from the Commonwealth Government is to potentially list these oyster reefs as they described them in their draft report as critically endangered on the EPBC Act as a threatened community. And they're asking for consulting on that draft report and asking Council if they're comfortable supporting that. I think it's important for Break of Day as the host of the Bay and these reefs, which are probably the best remnants in southern Australia, Council has a look at it and the recommendation is support it with some qualifications as I've included in the report.
Thank you very much, Polly. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Johnston and seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions to the report, please? Councillor Carter.
It's not a question, it's a comment, and just in regards to being part of that meeting, it was quite, heartening, but also it should be comforting to most of the people who have traditionally been using that area for years for recreational fishing and navigation in general, that it seems that it's not likely any great imposition to them into the future. But there was some uncertainty, and so the questions directed by the General Manager and Raoul were quite helpful in coming to a better understanding about that, but I get an impression that there's still some work to be done there.
Thank you very much, Councillor Carter. Councillor Johnston.
Thank you for bringing this to our attention. I would like to just expand on what Councillor Carter said. My feeling out of that, it was wonderful having all the experts there. It was great, and it was good. John provided a lot of opportunity to hear more from the experts. But what came across to me was that we need to celebrate our community, because this reef, over the time that they've been looking at it, it is not deteriorating. It's at least staying where it is, if not thriving. So the current activities, both of licensed fishing and recreational fishing, is not having an impact. We can't draw a conclusion that it's improving it, but it does say something about our community and how they are looking after this. And the only other thing I would say is, for something to be listed as a Commonwealth listing, there is a lot of work that goes into that. That, like, they really look at... It's not just something that happens. So for us, it says something really important about our reef. I said, you know, it's our Great Barrier Reef, but maybe I'm going a little bit over the top. But still, it's a really important... It's very large and the other areas are small. But what I really want to emphasise, which was emphasised, is it's really healthy and continues to thrive. And I would like to thank Raoul, who probably knows the reef as well as anyone else, if not a little bit better, giving us his experience of being part of that reef. So, you know, thank you for all the work that's been done, and thank you for bringing this to our attention.
Do we have any further questions or comments? If not, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. One folder down. There we go.
I know, that's how it is,
isn't it? 25.17.1 is the General Manager's Report of Governance. John, would you like to take us through your report, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple of things. Just in relation to the official opening last Friday, unfortunately, an urgent matter came along and I had to come back to the office, so I missed the St Mary's one, which was quite disappointing on that one. But one thing I would like to do is just note the work of council officers in relation to the delivery of the project and the opening as well. There's been a lot of work to actually do this project. There's been some great engagement with the community on that, and I think sort of it's something the community can, both communities, St Mary's and Fingal, can look forward to enjoying those facilities into the future. That one there, and then just in relation to a couple of other things, just on the federal election, there's just a little update in there. So far we've heard of a commitment from the Labor Party towards improving the reliance or resilience of Eskimane Road, St Mary's Pass, a commitment of $10 million towards that as well. And I've provided just a brief update in relation to progress with the study hub implementation, just noting there that our physical location is progressing, the recruitment for the centre manager is also progressing well, and that working on governance arrangements and grant deed as well. I'm happy to take questions, Mr. Mayor.
Can I have somebody move that we receive the General Manager's Report, Councillor Drummond, and Seconded Councillor Chappell? Any questions for the General Manager on his report, please? Councillor Drummond.
Comments more than questions. I multi-purpose and evacuation centre, congratulations to everyone. Thank you, John, for doing that, because I think it's a fantastic project. And what I particularly think we got was very right was the artwork that Mel Fidler done on the front of the building. It is absolutely amazing. It really encapsulates. It was a small, you know, there weren't that many people who came to the public meeting, but I think she really got encapsulated what we were looking for, and to see it blown up like that was really so rewarding, you know. And so congratulations to the staff again for engaging with Mel and getting it to that point. I'm really happy to see that the $10 million in funding for the St Mary's Pass is not an election funding commitment, that it's just a commitment, which is a really fabulous outcome, I think. And also I wanted to say, in regard to the Falmouth toilet replacement, I have had a lot of concerns raised with me about, well, not concerns, but comments that came out of the public meeting about where we were going from there with the other designs, like the two choices that came out of that meeting. I spoke to Jane, and I would like to thank Jane as well for giving me a briefing on where she's at with that and how the survey stayed open and all that information, so that I've been able to take that back to community members who have talked to me about it. And I've been very reassured that those two other options will be brought into the process at the end of all this, when the survey results and the community consultation are put together. So I just wanted to thank Jane for her response to me and to
putting me into some of the emails that she sent out to community members, so thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions for the General Manager? Councillor Chappell.
So I just wanted to ask you, so the $10 million is going towards the resilience of the Esk Main Road, which is a very broad grey term. Have we had any further discussions in regards to the long-term options that they are looking at?
This is wonderful, but like I said, it's
very grey as to what they're talking about there and how they're going to implement that. And are we getting any commitment in regards to looking at the other options?
Mr. Mayor. Yes, I was slightly intrigued by resilience of St Mary's Pass, what that actually meant. But obviously it's a commitment that's been made. Now, as far as the Department of State Growth goes, they're still working through their multi-criteria assessment process. We've asked them for an update, encouraged them to put something on the website to give people an update because it is September, so 6 months since they actually undertook this work. We're not getting a lot of response from them in this regard, but we just keep pushing them to update the community there. Then we have a better idea of where it's going because they will bring it back to probably a couple of key options to progress through into the next stages.
I think that's a good question, Councillor Chappell, whether we want a band-aid or a whole box on them.
But we don't know what they're talking about. It's $10 million for resilience.
Have we got any further questions? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 25.17.2 is the NTDC quarterly report. John, would you like to speak to this?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As per the requirements under the Enterprise Powers of the Local Government Act, NTDC provides us with a quarterly update of their activities. Happy to take questions, endeavour to answer them, but obviously key focus at the moment is in relation to the forthcoming federal election. I do note that they've provided an annual work plan update in there, which gives councillors a bit more of an understanding of the breadth of things that they're working on as an organisation, and obviously the
move the report, Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Carter. Any questions, please, on this report? If they have no, Councillor Carter.
That's not really a question. On page 578, there's a lovely picture of Mr. Stephen Wally, who has received some sort of acknowledgement for his services. But I guess I'm raising that question with my tongue in the cheek because we don't seem to get a great deal of mileage out of some of this stuff in terms of gastronomy and things like that. I'm just wondering if there are some things that the East Coast could be more involved in terms of what goes on in the day-to-day life of this initiative.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. The most of the regional things are, say, regional land use strategy, to be the population one as well. So, but there's obviously the sub-regional pieces as well. So where they've had in the past recreation plans and a few others for which has looked at that central core. The other piece that we're involved in, obviously, the election lobbying there as well. So every opportunity to participate, we make sure that we are participating in the ones which are truly regional in nature, not necessarily the sub-regional pieces there as well. So, it's just within the report, they talk about the different things which have got underway at the moment. So any opportunity to participate, we do that.
Any other questions on NTDC? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 25.17.3. I'm going to step out for Christy. Would you like to chair this one for me, please?
General Management Committee, GMC, and President of the Local Government Association of Tasmania. John.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Chappell. So every 2 years, the elections are held in relation to the members of GMC and President of the Local Government Association of Tasmania. That's now come to that point in time. And, Mayor Tucker has been the President for the last 2 years.
Okay. So what would you like me to do first? Open up for a mover and a seconder on that one? Mm-hmm. Or open up for discussion first? Yep, open up. Councillor Drummond.
Just got a question. It's a two-year term, so what happens, I know this is highly unlikely, but what happens if the person who's elected then doesn't run or isn't re-elected onto the council? Because doesn't it take us... So we've got elections coming in 18 months' time. I was just wondering about the timing of it, really, because it seems to me a bit out of sync. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Deputy Mayor, yes, it does seem a bit odd, the timing, and obviously if the person doesn't continue on, then they'd have a vacancy, they'd have to deal with it at that point in time.
I just thought it was a very strange timing, yeah. That's all. When you've
got 18 months of a term left and you're asking for a nomination for a two-year period, so...
It doesn't give you the time frame on when that actually starts at such either,
I was just curious, that's all. It was just unusual.
Barry?
I believe the Mayor's acted in a very professional and forthright manner. He's demonstrated an amazing work ethic. When you see him on TV, he doesn't care who he offends. It's all about common sense and what's good for Tasmania and good for Breaker Day. He's put Breaker Day even more on the map because I've had countless people who say, oh, gee, your Mayor does well on radio and on TV, and he's always very fair, so... Highly recommending.
Any other comments? Am I able to make one? Is that all right? I like the fact of having a regional. This is just a personal opinion, but I like to have a regional person in that chair, and whether it was like Christina previously, which I sort of deem that area as more regional than, say, Clarence or one of these other ones. But I think it's good for regional Tasmania to actually have that representation there. So that's just my little opinion on that one. Okay, so we'll have a mover and a seconder then.
Yep.
Councillor Oldham, Councillor Lefevre, seconder.
I'd like to nominate Mayor Tucker for the position. I think, like, as Barry said, he's been very forthright, and as you said, he's been regional. It gives a true country perspective too.
Absolutely. Okay, all right, then we'll take this to the vote. All in favour? And against? That's carried unanimous. Thank you.
Can I just ask one thing? And it's tiny and minuscule, and just there is a spelling error under council meeting of the 15th of May 2023 instead of meeting. Sorry, that's just me being. It's on page 585 and it just says M-E-T-T rather than M-E-E-T. Thank you.
.4 is the Local Government Priority Reform Program. John.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As council previously considered this at workshops to give us some guidance on the submission, those comments have been incorporated there and it's provided here for endorsement and subject to any final comments that councillors might have in relation to the submission, Mr. Mayor.
If somebody move, Councillor Chappell, and seconded Councillor Carter.
Thank you.
Any questions or further comments in regard to this? Everybody's pretty happy.
Okay. It's an amazing amount of work that the GM's done to represent us in this regard.
Thank you. Okay, well, I'll take this one to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. Too many pages in it.
Six, 645.
645.
645, thank you. 25.17.5 is the local government electoral bill discussion paper. John, once again, over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Second discussion paper released by the state government relating to legislation affecting local government. This one's been to one council workshop. Council provided a number of comments in relation to this. So I've endeavoured to capture those comments here and then whether council's got any final comments which they might like to add to the response. So we can finalise this. There was one there which related to Reform 33 and that in relation to the question remained about the increase from 5% to 20% on the electoral poll.
Can I get somebody to move this? Councillor Chappell seconded Councillor Wright and I'll open it up for comment. So we're on page 656, the council response. What percentage, Councillor Chappell?
I actually had this one written down just to make comment of 5 to 20%, I think is quite a high jump in this. And as we know, with any sort of petition or anything like that, it is quite hard to achieve just our normal targets that we get. And I know this is in regards to electors signing for the elector poll, but I still think that I'm quite comfortable with 5%.
Councillor Drummond.
Thank you, Councillor Chappell, because you read my mind. You said exactly what I was going to say. I think the 5% is quite adequate, and I was also thinking about the petition base and how hard it can be. It's very rare that we see a petition coming forward with greater than the 5%, so I think that I'm happy with that saying. I know that we did talk about that Reform 33 almost being two parts, and that was that we increased the proportion and then whilst restricting the matters was like a second component of that rather than they've got it all as one flowing sentence. I don't know what we can do about that, but yeah, that was just something I picked up on as well that we'd
like to comment on that.
Yeah, certainly, Mr. Mayor. There's, as noted, there's the two elements in there. So certainly we are talking about an elector poll here, requirement for an elector poll. It's not just purely about petitions. So it's specifically about the elector poll piece, but the restriction on the matters which an elector poll can be, has to have a legitimate connection, which seems logical. Otherwise you could be having an elector poll on the war in Ukraine for something if you're compelled to undertake an elector poll through a petition like that, which you question the value of that. So from this, Mr. Mayor, the submission will be 5%.
Is everybody satisfied with that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Any other parts of this that you would like to discuss? Okay, if there's none, I'll take this one to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you to the GM for the work that he's done on all of these documents recently. It's been very heavy going for the reviews. So thank you.
25.17.6 is the procedure regulations remake. John, would you like to speak to this one?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So as noted at the workshop, this one got dropped on us very quickly. And obviously there's a degree of urgency here and that needs to be remade by the 30th of June this year. So I've went through, once again, looking at the potential changes between the two and provided responses there for based around the conversations that we had at the workshop on this piece. But in general, most of it does seem logical, though in a few places I've posed questions of clarification around these elements. So how will council like to handle this? Have they got additional comments on particular ones which they'd like to talk about?
Somebody move. Councillor Oldham, seconded Councillor Drummond. Any questions or further commentary, Councillor Drummond?
Page 700, I think that statement around respectful behaviour and acceptable conduct and language is a really strong statement about how we behave in the chambers. Really pleased to see that happening. I had a question further down the way. Yes. So page 706,
in workshop we talked about that final paragraph where it, sorry, it says to ensure council allowances are fair and equitable in all respects. However, the government has also committed to a comprehensive review of councillor allowances and councillor numbers at a future date, and I believe that at the workshop we actually talked about asking them to be more specific about that and not leaving it so open-ended, because we could otherwise be 5 years from hence and not actually have anything done.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I added a paragraph in just below that, that a comprehensive independent review of council allowances must be undertaken as a matter of urgency, not be kicked down the road until after the 2026 council election.
Do you think that's strong enough?
That's probably about what we'll get. I think it's giving them 12 months to do it. So by the time they get themselves organised and do this and initiate a process, it's not going to happen before then, because they have to scope out what it's going to be, prepare a discussion paper, and so I think if we can get it done before 2026 elections, that'd be a great outcome. I think realistically, you'd be hoping that they'd be making a decision by about this time next year, so it can be factored into budgets as well. So,
right. Thank you. I just wanted to check that, because I didn't know even if that was still quite strong enough, because we know how they can go on about deferring things into the future.
I think the mayor's
must be undertaken. Yeah.
Isn't the Bill Gat hat on?
This one has been dealt with very severely, not just by me as President of Elgat, but many mayors around Tasmania when we had the Hobart meeting and also the Devonport meeting. It was really, really made it clear to them that it's not acceptable. And the reality is, if you keep kicking it down the road, you are stopping good people from putting their hand up potentially at the next election. You're trying to get councillors to do so much work, and on the other hand, you'll want to continue paying them a pittance for what they're doing, and you're putting more and more work on them and trying to make them a little bit redundant. And whilst John said we've got three submissions that we're actively doing, the reality is it's quite disgraceful. While this is happening, they've also put the fourth one on us, which is DAP 2.0. And I think it's we should have a carrot and a stick approach. People should be valued for the work that they do on council. And they do an exceptional amount of work right around Tasmania on councils with many, many things. And it's quite concerning that state government operate in silos and they don't talk to each other, and they all decide they want a submission done by a certain date, but nobody understands that there's another three other departments all asking councils to do submissions at the same time. And this is where we have our biggest problem, is state government doesn't talk to each other, but they expect our councils to run and jump at their beck and call for each and every individual department. So our argument has been, at all the levels that I've been dealing at, carrot and stick approach. If you want to continue the workload, you've got an election coming up, you want really good people to put their hand up and stand at the next election, don't keep kicking the can down the road on allowances. Councillor Chappell.
You might be able to answer this one for me, or John might be able to. Council submissions that we're asked to do, are they filtered through the Minister, local government Minister, through to us? Is that how they come through? Is he aware, or are they just sent from each different area, or is there a system?
Through Mr. Mayor, within each department, obviously the Minister will be briefed and signed off on a process.
So he knows that there's four?
He probably knows there's three, the ones which relate to his ministerial portfolio, but not necessarily, not necessarily any influence. So there's no coordination there. It's we've seen it time and time again, particularly they decide to clear their desks in mid-December so they can send it out, so you look at it over December, January, so they get their submissions at the end of January. Fortunately, this year they didn't do that.
As a former councillor, you'd be hoping that might be on his radar a little bit more as to what the pressures are on local government.
Yeah.
Whilst, if I may, the General Manager just made that one comment that was really pertinent. If you have a minister that's dealing with two or three submissions under his control, he is very much aware of each and every one of them, and he's signed off. But when there's another minister who doesn't talk to that minister, he can just go on his own. And that's where the silos come in. the different ministers, if they're not talking to each other within the department, they can all have a wish list, send it out to councils. We want this by a certain date, not knowing that the really, really heavy workload that other ministers have put on councils. And I keep telling them straight out, this is unacceptable. We actually run a business at council, which is looking after our ratepayers. In March and April, we're doing our budgets. And you expect us to do all of your work. And we've got to put ours on the back burner. Well, our work is important too, and they must recognise that.
Which is a failure of how that system should be working. There could be something in place so that he is aware of everything that's being...
They work in silos. Yeah. They don't talk to each other, unfortunately. So, Councillor Carter.
Further on to what Councillor Chappell was saying, isn't that something that we can recommend, that everything goes through the local government minister so that there is some coordination and understanding? I mean, in the time that I've been on council, it's an amazing amount of work that we've been required to do, and particularly the general manager in a whole range of areas. But if everything was going through the local government minister, just so that he's aware of the workload that's being imposed on councils, surely we can activate for that.
Carter, you're suggesting something which is called common sense, and it doesn't work that often in some situations. We surely, and I fully agree, we should have some sort of top-down approach where everybody can see what each other is doing so that you understand the workload. Just doesn't seem to happen. And LGAT pushes, but a minister will have a priority and he deems that that's his priority and he just goes for it, irrespective of what's happening over here. And that's the sad part. That's why I keep saying that they're in silos. They don't tend to talk to each other. Local government, the closest to the people, we do so much work and they don't seem to recognise that local government actually has to do budgets and do local government business, not just run at their beck and call all the time.
Sorry to persevere with this, but when Kerry Vincent is the minister, and given the amount of time he spent on council himself, surely there's a level of understanding that could be chiselled into him over this period of time through LGAT to reduce the silo impact that it's having at local council level.
It would be good if our council would potentially put forward a motion, potentially at LGAT this coming year, to suggest such a thing. So Councillor Carter.
I know,
and
what
Councillor Chappell.
Yep.
Councillor Fever.
Yeah, I'm assuming that all of us, as we move through the municipality, are looking out for people who might be outstanding councillors in the future. I targeted a couple about 5 years ago, and I just want to say it's embarrassing asking if they want to take up the position or put their hand up and telling them they've got to take a cut in their wage, weekly wage, because they've both got good jobs. So why would they come in under the present system without allowance and lose money?
Any further commentary? If not, I'm going to take this one to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 25.17.7 is our go call for motions. John, would you like to lead this one?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. As we drew this to Council's attention at the workshop, I haven't received anything from Councils at this point in time, Mr. Mayor, as to potential motions. I think motions close on the 31st of March.
Yep. Okay, Councillor Drummond. I better get somebody to move first. Councillor Drummond's moving, and secondly, Councillor Chappell.
Sorry, this has come to the... our workload has been enormous recently. Two, I went to the Climate Change Policy Day last week. I can't even remember when it was. Last week, I think, hosted by LGAT. It was an excellent presentation, really lots of informative stuff. And this was floating around in my mind there because we were talking about climate change and renewable energy, mitigation versus adaptation, you know, prevention, adaptation, or adjusting to current and future impacts. And I was just wondering where they talk about what are the opportunities to support council to increase community resilience to the impacts of climate change. There were some really what seemed like fairly small programs presented at that workshop that are actually having a really big impact. And so I came away from that, and I'm sorry I haven't progressed it, because I had 905 pages to read in the coming days. I was just thinking around FOGO, because that was one of the things that came up as having made a big impact in a number of council areas in regard to, you know, reducing those emissions, basically, at the end of the day. So I don't know if there's something we can quickly, if you want me to look at it, I'll give it my best shot, put forward to supporting councils to introduce that kind of programme into the future with regard to climate change. Because I think Liz was also there, and I think some of those programmes, the results that were coming out of what seemed like a fairly small programme were really quite sizable. So it was really interesting.
For example, the Launceston, the Launceston programme.
Ashgrove Farm Milk Programme was fascinating, just amazing, giving the cows seaweed to eat and how it's reducing their emissions is quite remarkable. It was just little, what seemed like little things, but the impact they were having was really quite large. And I've got notes from the workshops and I'm more than willing to share, but I just thought around that, if you want me to look at it, John, I can try and...
Councillors.
Yep.
That motion, how we might deal with that.
We'd have to vote on deal with it out of session because it closes on the 31st.
That's right. I know. I am sorry, but it's just that it happened. The timing of it was, I was all fired up coming home from there, and then I had to read, as I say, 905 pages.
Okay, we have any other comments or?
So, through you, Mr. Mayor, we'll just deal with this through separate emails, if there's a draft motion.
If there is.
Yep, to do that. Okay.
Okay, all in favour?
Sorry, did you want me to... Oh, are you going to do it?
No.
That's all right, yeah. Thank you.
You've got something in your mind around it,
yeah,
so...
Yeah. That's fine.
We've got the criteria there that it's got to meet, so you've got that in front of you, Councillor Donovan.
Sorry?
The criteria for motions on
I've got it all there. It's just been formulated in my mind over the last few days since reading all of this and having been at that conference, and it's like all just coming together in my head.
Okay, we'll take this vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, and we're going to have to say goodbye to the good people in the...
No, I still want to go, Mr. Mayor.
Where?
He's throwing you out too soon.
Where?
You've skipped it.
Where?
Go back.
17. Oh, sorry. This one's really exciting as well. 25.17.8. Local government federal election priority. Sorry, I missed that one. I went straight to put our communities first.
So, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, ALGA have written regarding the National Federal Election Funding Priorities and their campaign there. They're seeking support of councils just to endorse this and to take some simple actions around raising these priorities with the local federal members. So, as councillors will see, there's a few detail there. There's five funding priorities which cover a range of things around community infrastructure, roads, climate change and housing, and there's a bit of information there below there as well. So is council happy to endorse the recommendation and effectively it's just participate in this campaign and support these things, which really they're all conversations that we have within our normal business here at the council table.
Can I have somebody move? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Wright. The only thing is we'd be looking at Jane pumping this out on our Facebook page, just our priorities, keep our community first. Anything and everything that we can do to help support this is what it's all about. But if I may, John, I just want to make up just a comment. At ALGA the other day, we're finding that there's a lot of people been trying to get federal government housing community grants. They've been for infrastructure grant, and we've got one council in Tasmania who has been very successful with that and got a very sizable one. And now the federal government hasn't paid up months and months and months afterwards, but council had to spend their money first. To be eligible, you had to have a commitment. So one particular council spent quite a bit of money of their ratepayers to be eligible for a federal housing infrastructure grant, and the feds haven't paid up. And they're now trying to blame the state government, saying, well, we can't pay that council direct. We're going to pay the state government. The state government doesn't know anything about it, and they say they're withholding the deed. And I've got a council that's been hung out to dry at the moment. So we're really focused at ALGA on these things to make a difference, especially untied financial assistance grants. But just a bit of a warning, John, I meant to mention to you is not everything sometimes what the federal government's offering is what it seems, and it'll be rectified in the future, but it's creating a lot of havoc. So at ALGA, we've been working and focusing really big time on what the main federal funding priorities are, and that's what those ones are there in front of everybody to see, and trying to get that support out through our Facebook pages and anybody, our politicians, they're our big one, put our community first. So if everybody's all in favour of that, carried unanimous. And now we're going into closed council. Pursuant to Regulation 15, one of the Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulations 2015, the council move into closed council.